Cynthia?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. It is, Thursday morning, the 12th of March, 2020. The Lord's not making another one. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Getting ready to head to, where am I going to go? I'm going to Wisconsin, Marshfield, Wisconsin, for the Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News Expo. Lexi's jumping in with us, Michelle and I. We're heading up that way Friday, Saturday, and back on Sunday. We'll be live from Marshfield tomorrow. So hope to get a hold of a guest, make my life a little bit easier there. I want all of us to send out our condolences to the Heath family. They're all going down to their grandfather, Mike Heath's dad, his funeral tomorrow, dedication, whatever it is. So safe travels to all those guys, and know our thoughts and our prayers are with you. I hate that term. How can your thoughts and prayers be with somebody? Thoughts are with you. Sending thoughts your way, brother. I don't know what thoughts. Somebody show me here in the scripture where thoughts, sending thoughts to somebody to help. That's just kind of a nice way of saying we're praying for you in an environment where I guess you're not really allowed to pray for everyone. Listen, let me zero in on something here this morning that I really think is kind of important, and we'll dig into this whole thing. I think that ultimately, at the end of the day, I hate that term too. Boy, we're just full of cliches, aren't we? I think ultimately that we're going to find out that this coronavirus scare is ultimately nothing but a financial reset. That's what I think is going on, folks. That's what I think is going on, a financial reset. I've been thinking about, even in my own family here, our children and just people we come in contact with, how many people are really, really shackled by debt. We live in a debt-based system. We live in a world where if you want it, you just go get a loan and you pay for it. In fact, the way young people operate, I've figured this one out, is when they want something new, they just look at their monthly payments and they figure out whether or not they can make the payment. If they can fit another $150 into their payment structure, well, they'll buy it. So we can afford it. Look, it's just $150 a month. We can do that. And so we've trained our children to live in debt, to go in debt, live in debt. That's the way the world operates. And the truth is, we're now, the United States of America, at least $21 trillion in debt, at least. They say there's another $20 trillion that's off the books, black books. And we also know this, that if you were to just dig into the what they call unfunded mandates, you'd find out that Social Security and Medicaid and pensions is just trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars. And as I've tried to explain to those of you, well, you could do it right now, I think. Well, we won't do it right now, but you could go right now and you could find that in circulation right now in the United States of America, even though they're constantly printing more money. Hang on, listen to me now. They're not printing money, folks. They print digits. They just print digits. They're not, when somebody says, boy, they're printing $80 billion. No, it's not money. It's digits, okay? It's digits. How else do you find yourself $21 trillion in debt? And we heard Donald Trump say last night that they're going to do up $50 billion. They're going to pump $50 billion. I said, that's great. Where are they getting that? When it tells us, we look and if we do a study, we find out that there's only about 1.3 trillion actual dollars in circulation. 1.3 trillion. That is it. So if you think you're going to go to your bank and get money out of the bank, folks, there isn't money. How do I help you see this? How do I help you see this? We are a digit-based society. You can open up your checkbook, and your checkbook will say that you have $23,286 in your account. Folks, that's the number they say you have in there. Hear me. That money's not in the bank. Now, wait a minute. Your money might be in the bank, but if your money's in the bank, Mark Trump's isn't, or Roberts isn't, or Jeff's isn't, or Allen's isn't, or there is not enough money in the world to cover the debt. Not even the debt. There's not enough printed money in the world. If everybody were to go to the bank and get their money out, there is not enough money. Now, you could carry a $10 bill in and get $10. Well, that's a bad illustration. You could carry a check. You could take a check in for $10 and hand it to the bank, and they'll give you a $10 bill. But if everybody in town did that, your bank would quickly run out of cash. Why? They don't have the money. They have the digits in their account. Am I making sense here? So we look at the stock market. The stock market's climbing and climbing. It's 26,000. It's 27,000. And the average person, we don't even know what that means. It's how the Dow Jones fell 1,500 points. I said, oh, no. What does that even mean? It fell 1,500 points. And then somehow they say, well, coach, that's $800 billion lost in the stock market today. So whoa. $800 billion lost? It went into a hole? The money just disappeared? The stock was at 26,000 and now it's at 24,000 and all those points were dollars? Where are the dollars? And
paper wealth. It's paper wealth.
If I'm sitting and I'm playing poker with Robert Klaus and he puts $10 out on and we're playing in between and he loses his $10, his $10 comes out of his pile of money and it goes into the pile in the pot and I win it and I take what used to be his money and I put it into my pot. I now have his $10. But in the stock market, when the stock market crashes 2,000 points, folks, who got the money? Who got the money? Where is it? It's digits. Folks, it's all digits. And here ultimately is what I believe is going on, although I'm not a financial advisor nor the son of a financial advisor, but I want you to know this. We are seeing right before us the death of the financial system. We're seeing it. And that will be Donald Trump's greatest opportunity is to restructure the American, the world economy, really. Because, folks, let's be honest here. The American economy is what's keeping the entire world going. The American economy crashes. I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? We owe trillions and trillions. Folks, we don't have the money. Okay? We don't have the money. That's what they call a bank run. When everybody runs and tries to get their money out of the bank at the same time. Remember, It's a Wonderful Life. There is not enough. Real slowly. There are not enough dollars, actual dollars, to cover the debt. There's not enough money, folks. There's not enough money. So we're in a situation where everybody is living off of debt, and here is the financial problem of our lifetime, and what we're going to do about it, I don't know. The problem is the Federal Reserve. See, the Constitution, if this is boring, you stay with, some of you are picking this up, okay? The Constitution tells us that Congress should have the power to coin money. Coin money. Congress has that power. And for however many years, it was tied to gold. So that the value of your dollar was tied to gold, you had something, right? Well, the value of the dollar is not tied to anything anymore. They made it a petrodollar there for a while. In other words, dollars would be, anybody who wanted to buy oil had to buy it in American dollars. And so the American dollar, the petrodollar, became the reserve currency for everybody. Everybody had to have dollars. But as we see, the energy, the oil market is crashing. Petrodollars really aren't backed by anything either. And we are now burdened with unsustainable debt. And the only way you get out of unsustainable debt is a process called bankruptcy. We are seeing right now in America the beginning of the bankruptcy of the United States of America. Now, wait. I think it's great news. I think it's great, great, great news. Because, again, I try to be forward thinking, and I think about my children and my grandchildren, and I think about how much my daughters in particular, whose their husbands have good jobs, yet how much young couples like that struggle financially to keep their head above water. Why? Because of ungodly taxation. Now, do you know this, folks? Do you know that the Federal Reserve loans money? I'm sorry. Yeah, they loan out money. They print it. It is printed money. They take that money. They print it. They loan it to you, us, the American people, and we pay the Federal Reserve interest on money they created out of thin air. I think Donald Trump knows this. I mean, I know he knows this.
It's about Bob.
You're breaking up, Jack. You're breaking up, Jack. You're breaking up. I know you got something good to say, but you're breaking up. Hang on. Hold on to it a second anyway, Jack. Because, folks, listen, here is what's going on. If the world is going to continue, I'm telling you the truth. We must have a financial reset. We have to. The American dollar has to die. In fact, I wrote a commentary today called The Death of Globalism. The American dollar is already dead. We just don't know it yet. We just don't know it. So that's why we saw, what are they saying? Come on now. What are they telling us? That now the dollar is carrying the coronavirus. That's right. Every time you go to the store and you pay a dollar, there might be some virus on that. So they are setting themselves up to do what? To collect, to call in all money. They want to go to a cashless society. We know that that's been going on forever, right? And if they change, if they were able, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is the time, but this is the beginning. They are conditioning all of us to prepare us for a new financial system.
China just did that. China is calling in all cash, paper, and coin to be reissued, and they haven't really said with what yet.
Yeah, Larry, who owns all of our debt? Who owns a lot of our debt? Why China? They own a lot of our debt, right? So this financial reset, folks, is taking place. In other words, Depression 2.0. Now, I don't know if it's going to play out like the last depression in 1929. We basically had one in 2008, but they didn't let it go full bore depression. But we are seeing a reset of the financial system, and we do not know yet what that is going to look like. Folks, that's all this coronavirus is about, in my opinion. Not that you don't get sick from the coronavirus. I want you to sit down. Just sit down for a minute, okay? Sit down for a minute and ask yourself this. The NBA just postponed the rest of their season. The NBA, professional basketball, just postponed the rest of their season. Do you have any idea how many companies that is going to cause to go broke? People who are counting every day on money coming in from basketball games, that money is now cut off. Do you understand that the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, is now being played without fans in empty stadiums, empty basketball arenas? Folks, don't think virus. Please don't think virus. Think money. Who's buying the hot dogs and the Cokes and the popcorn and the souvenirs and the parking at the games and who is covering those financial losses? How many basketball teams are there? I'm guessing 26, maybe 26 basketball games, meaning on any given night there are 13 games going on around the world, and they just canceled them. And what about those people who have bills who are The vendors have bills, the light, all. Imagine it, folks. So we are seeing right now, whether we understand it or not, a collapse of the financial system, even as we sit here today. And I want to, I'm not trying to make you alarmed. I'm trying to give you fair warning that it's coming. And it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Can I comment on the basketball thing a moment? I'm not a sports coach or anything like you are, and I don't have the inside track, but I do have an observation of what's happened. And what has happened is this, is the owners of the basketball teams didn't give a poop about people in the, in the stands having coronavirus. It's when one of their multi-million dollar assets got it that then they became concerned. That has a lot to say about where the priorities of our society are.
Well, Larry, I think it does. I think it does say that, because then they were worried about. See, listen, folks, it's the same thing. Do you remember when AIDS broke out? Long when Magic Johnson got AIDS playing basketball. Do you remember there were people who were concerned whether or not he ought to be able to play in the NBA because he could spread it to others? So what Larry's saying is the NBA is canceling, they say, because one of the players got it, and what? They're worried about him spreading it to other players, right? And so that goes to other players. Then other players aren't able to play, and the yada, yada, yada. Do you see what's going on, folks? Do you understand from a financial standpoint, President Trump, I can just think, okay? I'm not a financial guru. I want to ask you this. President Trump last night declared no more travel to Europe, except the UK. Now, I'm going to scratch my head here a second. Does anybody have any idea of the financial impact to the airlines of those flights not being flown? They got to pay for their planes. They got to pay for the maintenance. What the heck are they going to do to replace that money? Now, be careful a minute, because we know what they've always done in the past, why they turned to us, the taxpayers, and we bailed them out, right? Folks, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. In fact, if it starts to happen, we ought to throw a conniption like we ain't never thrown in our lives. Because the truth of the matter is the NFL, the NBA's debt is not my debt. It is not my debt. It's not my debt, folks. And they can say all they want to that it's the national debt. Well, then let the national people pay for it. It is not my debt. I am not obligated to do that. And as I said to you yesterday, we now know that college is a fraud. We now know you can do homeschool college. We now know that. We are at the precipice of changes in the world like we have never, ever seen, ever. And we're seeing just the beginnings of it. And I want to give you this fair warning. Quit worrying about what the virus is going to do to you and begin to think about what the virus is going to do financially to the world, to those around you. How many people do you know right now who 6 weeks from now will not be getting a paycheck?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Did you see where the Democrats are trying to cut off Trump on the payroll tax? Because, hey, they don't want all the American people to see the thievery that's been going on for all these years.
Hey, Alan, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I'm here to tell you that we will see a restructure. This could be, I wrote my commentary today, The Death of Globalism. Is it okay if I read this to you right now, folks? Because it ties right in.
This is part of the plan.
It's part of the plan. But it's part of the plan.
Since 1906, Coach, we've been building up to this. The problem is, and I agree with you 100%, this is a reset. The problem is, who gets to do the reset, and what are we prepared to do? We don't even know the law. If we knew the law, we wouldn't have allowed this to happen. We have allowed them to steamroll us. We've been set up. This is all a big scam. This is Bernie Madoff on multiple steroids.
Bingo! Who's going to do the reset? If we in this audience don't make up our minds that we're going to find out a way to how to work together and find more of us, if we don't do the reset, then the other side's going to do the reset, and that's going to be worse than what we have now.
Hey, Connor, Coach. Go ahead.
That, I'm sorry. There's a number of different angles. Of course, the financial is part of it. But think about this, okay? Churches are going to start to empty out. And already we have this format, okay, where people can go online and get fed.
Yes.
How you know, talk about God's provision, Coach.
Amen, right? Glenn, I saw yesterday I saw this in the city of Seattle, I think, although I could be wrong, where the mayor asked people not to go to church.
Yep. That's right. But people are going to, my wife said to me yesterday, you think we should go to church on Sunday? She never says that. She's a worship. She just loves to worship. She never said that before.
Amen.
You got the basketball gods falling. You just wait till TD Jakes, and I'm not saying anything bad, but hey, just wait till Jakes and Osteen call church off. Now, what's all the world going to think about their God then?
How can they call church off? How can they financially call church off? How could Joel Osteen, I'm not picking on him, how could he go 4 weeks without offerings? How can he do it? How's he going to be able to do it? Folks, I'm telling you, we are sitting on the most cataclysmic opportunity in the history of the United States of America. It is before us right now. Right now.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Here's just a small example. I'm just a little guy. I have sold one car in 12 days. I don't have anybody walking in that car lot. A few drive-thrus come through, but nobody is coming in that office. Me and Ricky have been sitting in there for 10 days. I keep asking him, I said, what is going on? They didn't even think about that. They're not even walking in.
No, they're afraid. They're looking at the stock market and trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I think it's bigger than that. Pull my commentary up real quick. Hey, guys, I'm sorry to be on this, but I think it's so critical that we get it. I've got scripture to go along with this here in just a second.
But, Coach, yes, God is always in the midst of all this wickedness. I'm sitting here talking with my son. I said, shut down the school systems, which we've been crying.
Praise the Lord. Close them all, baby.
They go home. The parents become back in the home. They actually become core family values again. Isn't that where the church begins?
Hey, Dale, I think it's all good. I think it's going to,
see the press conference of the Corona team that Trump put together 2 days ago?
No.
They were talking about how they're going to be sending out directions and instructions and how the kids can still go to school and still be safe. I mean, I sat there and almost threw up when I saw them saying, we got to keep the schools open.
Colleges are closed.
Don't miss the opportunity. Okay, don't miss the opportunity. It's before us. Come on, man. This is what an opportunity. Okay, stay with me. I just wrote this last night, okay? The death of globalism. This is what I see is going on. Now, listen, it's not dead yet. It's not dead, folks. But let me preface this before I get into it real deep. Hang on. Why haven't we closed the borders? Why haven't we closed the borders? Trump just did step number one, did he not? Nobody's flying in here from Europe. Nobody screamed and hollered. Nobody screamed and hollered. Here's step number two's coming. You mark my word. Okay, here's what I wrote. Globalism has failed. Open borders has yielded deadly fruit. Right? Everybody agree with this? Our foundations have been destroyed. It's 6:30 on Wednesday, March 11th, as I write this, and the markets have taken another hit today as a result of the much-hyped weaponized flu attack. And an attack it is, but not necessarily in the manner that most of you think, a sickness designed to wreak havoc on the health of the world, but an attack on those who still believe in the nation state and the right of the people to self-determination. That's the attack, folks. Let me stop right here. I was going to put this in there, but I cannot make these articles so long. They tried everything they could to get rid of Donald Trump. Everything they could, because he was stopping the advancement of globalism. Do you understand this? He was stopping the advancement of globalism and making America great again and nationalism great again. And they lost three different times. And so they had to do something else. All right. I've never seen anything like it. All the media focus that was spent the last 3 years on Russia and Trump and the mess in Washington's all of a sudden just gone. That's all gone. Suddenly, right on cue, the focus of the entire fake media has switched to the virus. The onslaught on the common sense of the world has been startling to watch. Stop a minute, folks. If they shut down the NBA, are those people not going to go somewhere? I mean, they're all going to go somewhere, aren't they? They're going to go shopping. It's not like people aren't going to be around other people. They're just not going to sit in and watch a basketball game. We haven't stopped people from gathering together yet. And it doesn't matter how many people gather in a basketball stadium. Doesn't matter. It's how many in there are carrying the virus. How many? It could be one person. You could go have dinner. You could go out to eat. And the person who ate before you at that table had the virus and they left it on the menu. It doesn't have anything to do with how many people you're around. So let's make it clear. I do not know the real danger of the now declared pandemic. I don't know who to trust, what to believe, but I get the sinking sensation that something big is being orchestrated. Without getting into the technical discussion of whom or what has caused this to appear, permit me to present a plausible explanation for what's happening. The American dollar is dead. It's backed by nothing and printed out of thin air. Our debt is unpayable, and everyone in the know knows it. The world's broke. No currency anywhere in the world is actually backed by anything. The dollar is a piece of paper, nothing more, nothing less. They simply tell us that it has value. But we all know better. The fake dollar cannot continue to be used to pay real debts. Our unfunded mandates are in the trillions. Social Security, Medicaid, right? Military retirement benefits. It's in the trillions of dollars. And our personal debt is at staggering levels. A total reset of the world's economic system is the only solution to get the American people back on our feet. We don't want that, do we? Huh? I want it for my kids' sake. The goal of the globalists is a cashless society in which they have total control. If you can't see the old switcheroo happening before your eyes, I question your ability to think. The actual money, the paper in circulation, they now tell us, well, that's carrying the virus. You can't use dollars anymore. It's got the coronavirus on it. So let's call in all the dollars, and then we'll just go to a cashless society. Well, they've had the American people divided over race and religion and sex and politics. They've been working behind the scenes to orchestrate a coup on America, the crown jewel of the world economy. As goes America, so goes the world. And since the Great Depression of 1929, a well-organized cabal of Luciferians have been at work in an attempt to seize control of the entire world. Read Psalm 2! Both American political parties have been complicit as their leaders have been bought and paid for by this satanic cabal. How else could we be in this mess unless they were in on it? The American populace has been slow to catch on to the scheme, but we have recently begun to wipe the sawdust from our eyes. What started out as a Tea Party movement over a decade ago has now blossomed into full-blown wokeness as more and more Americans have recognized the demonic schemes that are going on. Hillary's election would have ushered in the final pallbearers on America's independence, but something happened on the way to the funeral. President Trump was elected and threw a monkey wrench into their final act. The jury is still out on what Trump's motives are, whether he's part of the deep state, and where his loyalties truly lie. And time will tell if he's the knight on the white horse so many of us believe him to be. But no matter your view of the president, his platform of nationalism has been the tuning fork that caught the attention of a still slumbering populace and drew the ire of those hell-bent on globalism. Donald Trump cannot make America great again. Only we, the people, can do that with the Lord. I'll get to that in a minute. But he is the one who planted the vision in the minds of millions of Americans. What we are embarking on now is uncharted territory for us. We are the most pampered populace in the history of the world. Americans, we're the most pampered. And time will determine whether we have the gumption and the gall to fight to restore this nation. A financial reset has to come. And let it come before we're unable to fight back. Tough times are coming. And short of a pre-tribulation rapture, Christians are going to have to actively engage in this war for America. The future of our grandchildren depends on it. Folks, Those of us who are left behind, I'm talking about. Money makes the world go round, and for too long, the money masters have been scheming for total control of the world. They've burdened us with debt that is not ours to people we do not owe, with money that is not our own. Who in the hell put us trillions of dollars in debt and then told me I got to pay for it?
We did.
The line is drawn in the sand, and we must fight now to take back what has been stolen from us. But in a sense, we've been here before. The history of our nation is lined with cataclysmic events from which we were told that we would never recover. But we did. We always have. We're now faced with our greatest challenge yet. Can America once again rise from the ashes and restore a nation that we so willingly pissed away? Is the future of our children worth the struggle to restore the foundations? Americans have become soft. It is the result of the ungodly affluence that most Americans enjoy. We didn't fight when we could have saved everything, but perhaps we will fight when we have nothing left to lose. Will God grant us a reprieve? Only if He is central to the plan. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, how about repent or fight or rebuild? Slide down, Connor. Globalism is dead. America's on life support. Tighten your belt and earn your mail money, boys. All of history is watching. Friends, it is happening right now. Jack, I hear you bursting out there. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, the only thing I would disagree with that's perfect, except we are not in uncharted territory. We just
Yes, we are. For us, we are. Not for our guys in history. For the Americans right now, we are in uncharted territory. Ain't none of us that have any idea what it means to stand up and fight. None of us do. It's uncharted territory.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened in the past. We have a history to tell us what we need to do, but do we have the gumption, dare I say it? Do we have the stones to do what needs to be done? Because the world is in an intentional chaos, and we know that the theme of the Luciferians is order out of chaos. They love the chaos. Are we going to allow them to pull it on us again? That's the question I'm asking. Somebody come on in.
What's the issue? You got it, Coach. When the issue isn't the issue, what's the issue? That they're also, the money is also just a part of getting us down to 500 million people on the planet.
Right. Right. But Jack,
that doesn't, they're not going to go to the planet.
Folks,
they're
gonna die. Listen to me. Everything about globalism is dead. It is dead. Open borders, dead. The idea of sending all of our pharmaceutical production to China, it is dead. The idea of farming out all of our industries because we can get cheap labor is dead. In fact, we're sitting here in America today and say, I'm sick because of the Chinese. Close the borders. Globalism, my friends, is dead. But they're not going to give up without a fight. Can you believe that Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden aren't right now calling for the closing of the borders? What does that tell you? What does that tell you if Donald Trump were to stand up last night and say, we are closing the American borders? Can you imagine the pushback he'd have got from those Luciferians? Can you imagine? Folks, globalism is dead. It is dead. We got to wake up others and let them know. We're like, we got to quit. Hey, folks, we have got to quit giving a third of our paychecks to pay bills that we did not incur. We didn't incur.
I never agreed to this odious debt.
I didn't agree to it. I did not agree to it. I did not.
Yeah, question.
Yes.
Question. Yeah, is this why Brexit happened? Did they know? Just a question.
Well, Mark, but it's evidence of this spirit. This spirit is all across the world, is it not? What was Brexit? Brexit was getting out of the European Union.
That's right. That's right. They had
to pay to try to get out of the European.
Look, exactly. Did they know before us?
Did they know? Did they know before us? I don't know. Did the Chinese? Hey, folks, you do know this, don't you? You do know that our greatest debtor, in other words, the one who owns most of our debt is China, right? And do you know that China cannot pay the debt they owe us? So what better thing to do than collapse the economy? Why? Because the debt is unpayable. We are all programmed. Stay with me a second. We're all programmed to pay your bills. There's poor Jeff Klein sitting there, probably thinking about his overhead on his car lot. And man, he's got bills that he's got to pay. He's not selling any cars. And why is Jeff in that mess? Because we've been programmed that you operate in this country by debt. And the Bible tells us, don't have debt. Don't be in debt. And yet our churches are in debt. Everywhere you look, it's based on debt. And the money is going to Luciferians, to people who have locked us in to a Federal Reserve system that is ungodly and unconstitutional, and it is evil. And we have pastors telling us that we should pay our taxes. Wake up!
Now, right. Look, they don't pay taxes. They don't have to pay taxes.
I don't know the solution, friends. I don't know the solutions. But as long as we continue to willingly pay that debt to the government every paycheck, they're going to keep spending. In fact, they're spending what they don't even have. We're $21 trillion in debt, and Donald Trump talks about $80 billion to help with this crisis. What? See, he knows what we don't know. Money isn't real. There's something happening here, and we haven't picked up on it. Somebody come on. I wasn't planning to talk about all this, but this is so critical that we understand. Fear not, man. I thank God. Hey, guys, isn't this what we've been praying for? Isn't this what we've been praying for? Lord, crush us. Crush the Americans. Make America needy again, Lord. Make America cry out to you again, Lord. Turn off all this junk, all the entertainment, and all the little trinkets that we buy, and all the stuff we go out and go in debt for. Lord, crush all that. Turn that all off, Lord. Why? So that we can turn the heart of the children back to the Father and the heart of the Father back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We should be rejoicing that this is happening, not sucking on our thumb that we might lose our stuff. We're going to lose some stuff. But the Bible said to us, what does it prosper a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And we got a lot of people on their way to hell who got a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Come on in here, somebody. I'm about yelled out. I'm telling you the truth.
No, you got it, Coach.
Coach, it is a financial storm like those hurricanes, brother. I'm seeing it.
The people cling
it's gonna wipe
to
everything
that
out.
In the midst of that the only thing, all those obstacles and idols will be removed, that God be lifted up. And brother, you know what? That gospel flooded into Port Arthur. Here's a quick testimony. We're down there feeding, and we're in an area of Port Arthur that you didn't want to drive through during the daytime. And here I am, I'm feeding, and all of a sudden this low-riding car comes pulling up. Man, these dudes with their bandanas on, ASA, who's in charge here? And they point them over to me. I'm like, oh, that's great. Great, here we go. That guy come over to me, he said, man, you take care of my grandmother. You gutted her house. You gave her food. Man, let me tell you what, you safe in this neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? He'll even bring our enemies at peace with us, brother. In the midst of these storms, let me tell you what, God is in this, and he is working, and I'm going to tell you what, he will send the biggest financial storm, if that's what it takes, to get his people back to him, because he loves us that much.
Well, and not only that, Dale, he loves justice. He loves justice, and he loves mercy, and he cannot let this continue to go on. Now, you're saying, well, Coach, what am I? I'm thinking about Rob Pugh. I thought about Rob Pugh. You know, he's got this. Rob, I'll be honest with you. Last night, I'm figuring the president's going to come on and say no travel. Everybody stay home, because that's what they're setting us up for. Whether it's this time or another, that's what they're setting us up for. I'm thinking, poor Rob sitting up there thinking, God, nobody's going to come. Yada, yada, yada. I'm coming, Rob. I'm coming. I think it's all good. I think it's all good. Romans 8, get that up there for me, Connor. What do you think, Rob? Still having that expo?
Yes, we are.
I'm coming. I'll preach to you. You preach to me. I'll bring Lexi with us. There's three of us will be preaching. Jamie Waldron won't be afraid to come. He'll come. Because, nope. Listen.
He's coming.
The virus is nothing more than a cover for the real problem that's going on behind the scenes. You're not going to die.
Layton and I were up until 4 a.m., and I just got up at 6:30 here. So we're going to set up chairs.
Yep. Hey, it is.
It's going to be a long day, buddy.
We've been crying for this, haven't we? Haven't we been praying for this, America? Haven't we been praying for a revival? And you think revivals, you think people need God when their bank accounts are full? You think so? People need God when they're in danger of losing their house or their kids aren't having food. Huh? What is a prosperous man in the whole world?
This is important, and we are going to do it one way or another. So,
amen. 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 Hey, well, I better shut up what I say. I'll get my...
Well, Coach... Here, Coach, just firsthand news, okay? So the house that you stayed in when you were down in New Orleans, okay, that guy is vice president of a billion-dollar company, uh-huh. And they do all kinds of products, cleaning products, everything. And I asked him, we went out to dinner last night in Houston, and I asked him, I said, Frank, you know, tell me, you know, you deal internationally. I said, what's going on? He said, Dale, he said, nothing is coming from China. Everything is shut down. He said, and there is going to be a trickling effect that's mm-hmm. going to affect every industry in America. He said, every industry, because one is weaved into the next. He said, and I'm just telling you, he goes, I got a client that it's a half a million dollar company, small little business, one of our clients. He says, it's shut down. He says, they're literally shut down because there's no product coming from China.
And so here's the problem, Dale. They've already ordered. Or like right now, I'm having some work being done up at Sky High. Well, that guy's been doing the work up there. What if I don't pay him? Well, if I just say, whoop, gee, sorry, man. Market got tied, lost all that. What happened? He's out, right? This is going to boomerang. But I'm in Romans chapter 8 because I was encouraged by that today. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, oh, I love that. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. Dudes, I'm already dead. I've been born again. I've got new life in Jesus. And that law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus means that other one ain't got any effect on me at all. Those who walk for what law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of his sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We talked about that the other day. Are you walking by the flesh, or are you walking by the Spirit? Are you troubled today? Be honest about all the stuff you're going to lose. Are you more troubled today about all the stuff you're going to lose than you are about the souls of your loved ones? The people that you care about who are far, far away from the Lord. When you got up this morning, was your mind on the stock market? Or was your mind on your nieces and your nephews and those lost people? The Lord might be sending this to reel them in. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they're worried about the stock market. But they that are after the Spirit, they're not worried about the stock market. Because boys and girls, to be carnally minded, to think about the stock market, that's death. But to be spiritually minded, boy, that's life and peace. Thank you, Lord, for this calamity that you're bringing. Thank you, Lord, that others will come to know you. Because the carnal mind, why, it's a war against God. Hey, folks, just look at government. Look at the stock market. Look at those guys. It's a war. For it is not subject to the law of God. What is it? The carnal mind. And what have they done? They've thrown God out of everything. So it is not subject to the law. Look at this. neither can it be. Is that something? The carnal mind cannot become obedient to Christ. It takes a spiritual rebirth. So then they that are in the flesh cannot. Boy, don't miss these. Are those contractions? Cannot. Cannot. Please God. But you're not in the flesh. Oh, no, you're not. Not you here in the queue. You're not in the flesh. But you're in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you now. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not Christ's. And if Christ be in you, boys and girls, the stock market don't mean anything because your body is dead. But the spirit of is life. Oh my goodness, Lord, get this in us. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Not so you can get more money, not so you can accumulate more things, not so you can build bigger buildings. Why? For if you live after all those buildings and all that stuff, you shall die. But if you, in the spirit, kill all of those things, not meaning that you don't have them or you don't build them, but if your heart is fixed on those things that are mortal, you are going to die. But if you, through the spirit, kill that, you're going to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Stay with me. So Christians, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Coach.
Yeah.
Can we get a definition of the word quicken?
Sure. Quicken. Make alive.
Only because I'm a fan of the very first Highlander movie. If anyone has ever seen that, there's a whole thing about the quickening. And I think people need to understand what that term means, quicken.
Webster's, we're looking for. Webster, there it is. Quicken, Q-U-I-C-K-E-N. What's it mean to quicken? Primarily to make alive, to vivify, to revive or resuscitate. To make alive in a spiritual sense, to communicate a principle of grace, to hasten, to accelerate, to quicken, to sharpen, to revive, to cheer, to reinvigorate. Quicken! Quicken! We're being quickened! We're worried about, yes, we need stuff, but to be focusing on stuff is to be carnally minded and death.
We need Jesus, Coach.
It's the only answer. It is the only answer. Rob, if nobody comes, you offered the only answer. Back to Romans 8 real quick. I'm about done here. This daggone, this is good. Thank you, Lord. Because you have not received this. Look at this, folks. Listen. Please read and think. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again, meaning you once were delivered from it. You once were delivered from it. And now you want to bring that bondage to fear back on you? Stop it. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. Folks, not in this natural world. If we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we're going to be glorified with him. For I reckon that the stock market crashing in this present time can't even be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Holy smokes.
Coach, this whole reset is to give us a revelation of what you just said.
Man, oh man, oh man.
If we don't get this revelation right now, we're idiots. This
hey coach, I think you misread verse 17. I think we got to get with it here now. That verse is supposed to say, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so that if you have your best life now with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Larry, that's the message being taught, isn't it? See, it's the opposite message. It's the opposite message, which brings back to what somebody said earlier. It is so true. Folks, some of these mega churches are going to crash and burn. They're going to crash and burn. Why are they going to crash and burn? Because people are going to be having financial issues, and they're not going to be able to go. They're not going to have 10% of their money to go give. They're not going to be able to do it.
Coach, mic drop moment. These maggot churches instead of mega churches. These maggot churches, you got it.
Yeah, Coach, let me jump in here real quick. This is also a reset in a lot of other areas. The skinny jeans is going to go away. You can't have – this is a sodomite reset as well. You can't have feminized men in a masculine society that we are moving into, because only – I mean, we're dealing with survival of the fittest, which means manhood, and therefore mass homosexuality and transgender is really going to start to diminish.
Well, Bobby, here's what's going to happen. I believe this. People are going to turn to the real men. The real Christian men are the ones who are going to be offering the solutions. The Randy Lunsfords of Oklahoma are going to become the leaders in Oklahoma. If we'll man up, if we'll step to the plate and organize and tell those around us, hey, we're okay, we're going to make it through, we're going to do okay, but here's what we have to do. And we're going to have to begin to reorganize locally. That's the way that I see it. Folks, I don't think we have any concept. I think we have no concept. Do you understand the stock market, first of all, is fake? But do you understand how many people's livelihoods, retirements, are tied directly to that stock market? You have any idea? And as those numbers go down, the real effect of people's retirement incomes. Folks, listen, if you are a pensioner, I don't care, UAW, you name it, some city, someplace, if you think 10 years from now that money is going to be there, you are a fool. It will not be there. There has to be a reset, or they will inflate it so much that it's going to take a wheelbarrow full of dollars to buy a loaf of bread. Isn't that what the scripture says? Listen, I'm encouraged today. I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. I said, Lord, give me 20 years, Lord, for my sake of my grandchildren. I've had that little grandson of mine, I took him up to Sky High yesterday. Those of you who've been to Sky High, you know what it's like, or up there, and I'm getting ready to drive down the hill. And Mark, you know what little David said to me? Just me and little David. You know what he said to me? Hey, Grampy, can I run down the hill? Will you pick me up at the bottom of the hill? I love running down the hill.
Wow. Wow. Right?
And there I am in my car, and there's tears coming down my eyes. And I'm thinking, God, I love that little guy. What won't I sacrifice now for that little guy's future? Because here's the truth. I'm going to have to teach David to run up the hill. Running down the hill's fun, and it's easy. He's going to have to learn to run up the hill. And I want it to happen now, so I have the strength to be able to help him. That should be the attitude of all of us, all of us.
Yes.
That we have the strength to run up the hill and help those coming behind us make it up as well.
Coach, this is the time we've been coached for right now. The game, right? It's game time. This is what the world, Larry, you said it. This is to show everyone what the gospel truly stands for right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We get prepared to be Christ. We also have to be prepared to be the civil government. We have to be prepared, and most of us haven't got a clue where to start.
No, we don't, Jack. We don't, but guys like Randy Lunsford are going to become the leaders right where they are. God's going to raise them up in the midst of chaos. God's going to raise up godly men who are going to say, hey, now hang on here. Hang on here, boys. We can handle this. We can make it. Let's all get together here and let's come up with a plan. I believe that those – hey, folks, do you have any idea what the inner cities will become. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea? Can you imagine if they were to tomorrow say, we are closing down Columbus, Ohio for the next 30 days. Do you have any idea? Oh, my. So it's upon us. I'm not trying to doom and gloom you. It's upon us.
Go ahead. There was a computer glitch in Maine with the food stamps. There was a little mini riot at one of the local convenience stores because for 2 hours, not 2 weeks, 2 hours, they couldn't access their money. Your money.
We're going to see a run on them, Matt, buddy.
Oh, my word. We got to be prepared to we got to be prepared to medically take care of them. The system
is
going to break.
This will be our finest hour. This will be it. Hey, folks, I'm sorry, my nose is running. Anybody can play church. Anybody could have played church over the last 30 or 40 years in America. It was Disney World. It was Disneyland. You had anything that you could ever want. And it was that ungodly affluence that made people no longer have a desire and a hunger for Christ in their heart. They didn't need God. They had everything else. Wow.
Amen, Coach.
And
amen.
On the other side of this coronavirus financial mess, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent from their wicked ways, if there's enough of us left after this mess that we can lead the way demonstrating repentance and if we can be the ones to step up and say, that we can remember when things were different than what led us into this mess. And if we can be the ones to help push the reset buttons, then we're going to have to be as organized or better organized than the other side. And they've got a big head start on us. We've got to start unifying and working together now.
So listen to this, friends. Listen to this. While everything that the left has been promoting is dead, it's dead. While all of this stuff is going on, we're worried about pronouns. What pronoun we use when we talk to somebody. We are fiddling while Rome is burning, brothers. And let me tell you, strong men are going to arise out of this mess, and they are going to put that wickedness in its place. I'm telling you, that's the opportunity that is before us today as we move into this. So,
Did you see Glenn Beck yesterday afternoon? You need to watch. It's pretty compelling, man.
All right.
He did a monologue about an RN from Italy that he knows personally and a doctor from Italy he knows personally. Very compelling.
All right.
To be men like Issachar, who knew the times and knew what to do with it, Coach. Biblical warrior men.
Hey, folks, listen, you're going to die, all right? You're going to die. Well, fact, y'all are supposed to already be dead, but this mortal body, this mortal body is going to put on immortality. You are going to die. It might be by the flu. It may be by somebody texting. It might be a heart attack. It might be cancer. It could be any number of things. You are going to die. And I'm going to tell you this. The world will go on without you. It will. Hey, when's the last time you heard somebody mention Kobe Bryant? Oh, they were weeping and moaning and groaning for Kobe. No more. They're on now. They're on to LeBron James. They moved on, baby. Your life's but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And folks, please let us not miss this moment of opportunity in world history, the time in which we live now. God bless you. I'm excited. We'll see you tomorrow from Marshfield, Wisconsin.